Philippians chapter 2. So I kind of changed this in the middle of the week, my message, just because a lot of things have changed in our world as of late. And I'm trying to keep it all in line with headed to the cross. And this was something I thought would be great to help your friends if they're of other faiths other than genuine Christianity. And I mean genuine Christianity, not pseudo Christianity, because there's a lot of that going on right now, and you need to identify the difference between pseudo Christian and real Christian. Real Christian believe there's only one way. Real Christians believe there's only one way to heaven, and it's through the blood of Jesus Christ. And if you believe any other way, you're believing against the Bible. Not against me. You're believing against the Bible. And there's a lot of variations of that. There's a lot of variations of that. There's works-based theology and all kinds of different things that they throw in there. But you need to continue to study the truth so you understand when a counterfeit comes. And he showed up in the month of March to try to get you off your square. I promise you. So just listen to the media, and they'll try to lead you astray. But if you'll take notes and take this with you, you'll be able to identify. So here it is. Back to the Apostle Paul talking to the church in Philippi. He said, "So if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, capital S, which means the Holy Spirit." God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They're all three in one. Say that with me, three in one. They're not distinct, different people. It's not three people. One. Any affection, any sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourself. That's completely the opposite of the world. The world wants you to get everything you can get. Christ is always referring back to serve first if you want to be first in my kingdom. Getting people to apply the Bible is where we're struggling. Not just come to church and hear it. This is application. This is like any good medicine. It has to be applied and has to be taken. Let each of you look not on our own interest, but also the interest of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. So there's his introduction here in this chapter. Now it gets thick. Listen to this. This is important. So now he goes and he says, have this in mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. So here he is referring to himself. He took on the form of God in human form. And he said he emptied himself by taking on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. So Jesus is no less God than the world's trying to make him out to be. See, other religions know, everybody knows that Jesus graced the globe at one time. It's a scientific fact. And I don't have time to go into all of that, but there's scientific fact that Jesus actually graced the globe, graced the ground we walk on. But the problem with the other religions, they just believe he's a good teacher or a good prophet. He's much more than that. He's God in the flesh. Here he says he poured himself in to flesh. God can take on any form. We know God the Spirit, and he poured himself into a baby, and he's born, and we know all that stuff. Completely without sin, forever. That's God. When you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. Amen. I and the Father are one. They're not two different people. Amen. He could have took on any form. If you read the Bible, any of the Any of the Gospels, you find out when Jesus wanted to leave, he just left. He didn't have to ask permission. He might walk through a wall. He might just disappear. And he did these types of things because his time wasn't then. Nobody could get him because it wasn't time yet. He, you know, when they got him in the Garden of Gethsemane, they didn't get him. He just finally gave himself up. Is the church awake today? You can't go with clubs and torches to get the creator of the world. They look like the Keystone Cops up in here. You know, oh, we only got him. That always griped my backside. Let's keep going. It gets a little bit more interesting. So in verse 8, it says, "And being found in human form, he humbled himself by being." Can you imagine humbling yourself and coming down here to live amongst this mess down here? "Therefore, God has highly exalted himself and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. So that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father." Amen. I got to have the church say something to me today. Every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Everybody goes by the CEO's desk. Everybody. Where you end up is up to you. Last night I was scrolling through my phone and Billy Graham popped up again. He was preaching this exact message. He said every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Lord means master. You may not believe it right now, but you better. It's easier for you to do it on your terms than his. Because if he's got to humble you, you're not going to heaven. Hello. Amen. So I'm going to pray about that. And I want you to put your thinking cap on here, because the next week or two gets pretty sticky. It gets pretty thick. Watch this. What I'm trying to say, Carol, is the road narrows a little bit as we get closer to the cross. There's you find out, you're like, man, there's only one way to get here. Okay, so we're set up. Lord, we just thank you that you keep doing what you're doing. Lord, sometimes it's hard to be obedient because we'd like to pop off. We'd like to take it easy. We'd like to sleep in. We'd like to, I don't know, do anything, Lord, but being obedient is something we know we should be, and we're going to be obedient. We're going to fight the enemy. We know it's a fight. And we're going to come and shout Jesus until you come back to get us. Help us be obedient. Help our family and our friends that we're praying for that haven't made it yet this morning. Bless the offering, Lord, and bless everything we're putting our hands to. And please protect us and heal us where we hurt. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So applaud the Lord as the basket comes by. And let it be our best offering for the month of March. Amen. I was in, I was thinking about, Quick Trip's always been kind of my favorite store because you can go in, here we go, and you can get your gas and then you can get coffee, which is what you have to have, and then you can basically get any kind of man food you need. So yesterday we was going to the farm after we went to a basketball game, and then we, you know, this whole thing, and you go to the farm, and then you go to church, and then so my wife goes, hey, we ought to stop by Dollar General. And then we had to get some things, a case of water and everything. Dollar General, good job. I mean, coffee, water, the whole deal. And she's like, you want a box of Cheez-Its? I'm like, yeah. Amen. I mean, it's like being in a toy store for guys. So I don't know why I'm telling you that. I just confessing I was there yesterday. So go to Luke chapter 9. I don't know who's running Dollar General, but they're doing it good, I can tell you that. It's got all the necessities. Oh, I know what I was telling. So we're looking, so she's always buying stuff for kids, not our kids. Our kids are grown and gone. And she's looking for a Pez dispensers. And I didn't know they even made them. And I'm walking, guys, after about this shelf height, well, I'm not looking down there. I'm just like, I don't see it anywhere. I see the what I was enamored by was the Reese's peanut butter cups when they turn them into eggs. That I need those. I need those, and that's why they put them at guy height. Well, you know where the pest dispensers were? They're down here, and no guy's doing that. You're just gonna go past it. Doritos are at this height, Reese's, energy drinks. Amen. Vicky's like, I found them. Like, I would have walked past that 100 times. Like, there's something down there. I don't know what it is, but no guy's gonna take the energy and go down here. That's such a drag. We could get stuck down there. Praise God for St. Patrick. You know he was a church planter? Church planter, man. Planting churches is cool. So when you hear, I don't know if you ever hear the stories or done any research on St. Patrick, but he was a cool cat. He planted a lot of churches and did a lot of great stuff. So I don't know about that. He may have. I don't know. Let's stand for the word. We're going to pray over it real quick. It's pretty salty. Lord, we just pray. We need more people to plant more churches like St. Patrick did. And we need to have more gospel. And we pray for this country and this message in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Thank you. Go to Luke 9:21, and I'll set it up for you. This message isn't very long, so you'll be out here pretty quick. And you guys can send me an email over this. 9:21, he says, and he strictly charged and commanded them to tell this to no one. So I'm going to jump right in there, and I'm going to back up and talk to you about what's going on here. So obviously, if you were to read the chapter, you find out this is where Jesus feeds the 5,000. And then after the 5,000, they pick up the 12 baskets of broken pieces. And I think that if you look at the apostles' initial reaction to, you know, what are we going to feed these people? Hey, send them away. The natural reaction is to send them away, or, you know, we don't have any food. Our natural reaction is to act in the natural. There's no way I'm going to be able to do this. There's no way we're going to be able to feed them. We don't have enough food. And you hear that all the time. Oh, we don't. Really? You don't think God's got enough food to feed everybody? He's got enough food to feed everybody across the whole world. He's got to get you to believe that us together can get that done. I don't believe that people across the world should be starving. I don't believe people should be without water. There's all kinds of people that are smart enough to do that. There's people that got all kinds of money. I wish all these people that wanted to go around and fund all the Hollywood moguls, I wish they would send some of that money across into these poor countries and build wells and feed these people food. And I find it crazy that these people that want to not pollute the air and get rid of cowboys and get rid of cows and all this kind of stuff, they fly in their jets all over the world. And I'm thinking to myself, what in the world do you think you're doing with your big plane? So back to this text. He strictly charges these apostles, after you guys seen this giant-sized miracle, don't tell anybody. He strictly charges them, hey, don't tell anybody. And I'm caught up in this. Does he really mean it? Or is he just telling you, you know, like you would with when you give me beef jerky. When you give me beef jerky, you're like, here, man, you can have it, but save it for yourself. Keep it a secret. When something is so good, when something's that good, I may not share it with you, but I'm going to walk the hallway. They're going to say, who gave it? I said, Mark Wilman gave it. Man, this is incredible. Amen. So I'm not really sure, but here's what I believe. Here's what I think is true about this. When he strictly charges them not to go and tell anybody, I just believe this is part of his plan for him not to be revealed yet. And he can do all things. So why does he say this? I don't know. You can email me and tell me you got some big philosophical and theological reason why, you know, don't tell anybody. And he does this a couple of times. But I believe it's also to keep people in check. Amen? Amen. It's like when you leave to let you, remember when you first left your children at home? The first thing that your mom and dad always said is, I'll be back in a couple minutes. Well, even if you ain't going to be back in a couple of minutes, you said it because you want them to believe there's a possibility you could come back. Come on, I need some North County people here. You guys are all stuffed up here and like, well, we don't have any idea what you're talking about. Because you wasn't, well, this is the way me and my brother think anyways. We wasn't sure if we could pull it off in time if Dad came back. Amen now? Okay, good. So verse 22, here it is. Now we're getting ready for some red letter stuff. It says, saying the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected. Say that with me. And be rejected by elders and chief priests and scribes. Bob, what they're doing is he said he's going to be rejected by church folk. Church folk. See, there's a big difference between church folk and true Christians. They reject Jesus. I don't know why they rejected him. They just probably rejected him on his looks, or he didn't dance like a bear. See, a lot of times churches want to get the guy that's in the pulpit or the guy like he's a dancing bear. You jerk his chain, he's going to dance a little dance for you. Tell you something neat and fancy and happy. Jesus didn't do that. See, he wasn't like a politician. He wasn't bought and paid for. Oh, I'm on something now. He's going to suffer many things. So if he suffers many things at the hands of the scribes and the elders and the priests, he said his people came against him. And you could hold your head and go, I never believed they'd come against me. The devil can turn anything around to get anybody to go against anybody, even in your own family. Right. Tell your neighbor to look out right now. Even your own family, the people you work with. Yeah. God worked with you for 30 years and you're going to turn on me like a dog? I've seen it happen. I've seen leadership of church, they turn on people like a dog. They forgot that you was in there rolling around in the dirt back in the day. I'm going to stay here till I get something. We need to remember. Don't have short memory. Don't you remember? We was rolling around when we didn't have anything. He said, I'm being rejected by the people that are preaching up there. Hallelujah. And here's the deal. That's just the way it is. You'll find out what somebody's true colors are. All you got to do is squeeze them hard enough. It's like toothpaste. It's fixing to come out. Amen. And he said to all, if anyone, this ain't going to be popular. I wonder if any preacher is going to preach like this weekend. And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. I don't have to go any further than this. I can preach till Tuesday on this. Ask me, say, what does that mean, Pastor? What does that mean? Deny yourself. I told you last week, it's not a river in Africa. Deny. Well, Pastor, you don't know, we live in the United States of America. And we got iPhones and we got microwaves and we got cars that drive themselves. We ain't denying self of anything. As a matter of fact, we think you go a little too long sometimes. You're cutting into my, hey, listen, let me tell you something. I ain't cutting into your time. I'm cutting into God's time. And he told me to roll on with it. You want something short and sweet, they got that down the street, but the doors ain't open. Amen? Don't do that. Deny self. Pick up your cross and follow me daily. Sometimes it's not just daily. It's hour by hour or minute by minute. I want to talk to some minute by minute people. I don't know if we're going to make it to the next minute. They ask me all the time here, what are we going to do next? I said, I have no idea. We ain't got out of Sunday yet. Don't give me that. Well, we all got calendars. I'm cool with that. But let's finish this day. Let's see what we can get done today. I'm going to run it up the flagpole all the way till dark time. And then after that, call me on Monday morning and say, what are you doing now? And I can tell you what I'm doing on Monday morning. So we're going to deny the cross, or so we're going to deny self, pick up the cross and follow him daily. Now save the cross for last. What does the cross mean? A lot of people think it means life. It doesn't. It means death. That means death. That's where the payment was paid, and that's what you have to do. You have to die to self every day. You have to die to self. What you want to do, you probably shouldn't do because you know you're doing it in the flesh. The enemy roars out there like a lion wanting to devour somebody. And he takes you down a path and just has his way with you. You have to deny self and you got to die to self daily. Some of the things you want to do, you probably shouldn't be doing anymore because it's not what Christ wants and it's not best for you. And I always tell people, is that going to send you to hell? Probably not, if you're saved. But what I always ask people, is that God's best for you in your life? Is that God's best for you? I had a young man call me, and I told Leah, I just shared the story with Leah today. And he won't mind me telling you a story. He's a good Christian young man, and he's a full-time cowboy. He called me on the phone. He's heading to Oklahoma tomorrow, or Tuesday. He's packing his family up, going to Oklahoma, and he called me on the phone. He said, Pastor Pat, I want you to know me and my wife have been watching you. And he said, we was living. He didn't say he was living outside. They're Christians living outside the covenant of God. He said, but we're living beyond our means. And usually 30-year-old people don't pick that up. They got the wife and the kid and all the whole thing. Got the dream. He said, but we had to, he said, and I was getting successful, and he said, I went and bought me a brand new truck, brand new GMC truck. He's telling me this. This is at night right before we go to bed. And he said, the Lord told me to bring it back in. I sold the truck and the house that we was wanting to build. You ever want to build a house? We're going to build a big house. Say it with me, big house. Well, big house, and we're going to get in knee-deep in debt. He said, then the Lord spoke to me, and he said, I ended up buying a used single-wide trailer. Hello. And he said, we're not only debt-free, he said, we're happier than we've ever been. Sometimes less is better than all. But we can't die to self. We can't imagine not having the best of everything. Sometimes when you live above your means, you can't see the forest when you're in the trees. Maybe you don't need a brand new truck. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. But if you're 30 years old and you got a brand new baby and got a wife and you do it, you probably don't need a brand new truck, do you?
Probably not.
Probably not. I didn't say you didn't want one. But you find out that this is, that when you start feeding self, it's like a feeding frenzy. It just keeps requiring more and more. And then we got to get this, we got to get this. No, no, no. Let God speak to you. Deny self and follow me daily. You may have to crucify some of that stuff that's in your life. And don't go to the Harley dealership when your bike's not running well. Hey, I just soon get a brand new one. What the heck? Is the church listening to me this morning? We can't even imagine denying self. I can't believe it if I can't find my wireless earbuds. Yeah, well, I mean, are you kidding me right now? And I can't believe I got to charge them. I think they ought to just make up somewhere they charge themselves. Let's be honest with you. If there was a way for somebody to have a chip planted in... Oh, I got your attention now, didn't I? The Jones family's got it. See, I got the church woke up now because I'm coming down where you live. I'm mowing your lawn. Here, the deal is we don't have to carry our phone anymore. We don't have to carry the credit card anymore. We don't have to carry cash and check. What kind of dinosaur are you writing a check? You're crazy. All you got to do, he says, sister, you ain't even got to go in the store anymore. Just hang your hand out the window and wave that chip at him. Oh, we're right here. They're chipping animals already. Well, we're putting a chip in Fido because we want to know where he's at. Okay. And everybody and their brother knows where he's at too. See, here's what I'm trying to tell the church today. You don't need the latest, greatest thing that comes out. Well, on that power outage, everybody figured out how to get along without electricity for hours and hours. They're playing board games, probably get together. Their cell phones weren't working. Maybe it was God devising a plan to get a couple of families together so they could get saved so they wouldn't end up in hell. So I'm going to get the family together and sit around and play a board game. Say it with me, board game. I'm bored, Dad, because it doesn't explode. Oh, you got anything that explodes or lights on fire? It needs to keep my attention. Let me tell you something, Junior, about your attention. We act like as parents that we have to entertain these little brats. It ain't my job to entertain you. I'm not your pal. I'm your pastor. Hallelujah. Come on, guys. We're too smart to play this silly game. Denying self. Amen. Whoever should save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what is the profit of man if he gains the whole world and loses and forfeits himself? Got a shiny truck, though. Got a nice big house. We pay $3,000 a month for it. But it's big. It's big. We can't furnish it or put drapes in it. I got to come down here for a second. If you go to buy a big house, at least have enough money to put shades or curtains on it. Because everybody can read the mail when you buy the big house and you're putting a bed sheet over it. I'm going to go you one better. We bought a great big house, but we can't put a deck on it. So we're going to put $300 worth of 2x4s on a $3 million house off the back of the sliding door. I'm going to keep going until I get an answer. I've been in construction all my life, and I know exactly what that means when the homeowner can't put a deck on the back of his house. That means he run out of money. Are you hearing me? We might want to step down off the high horse and start denying self. I can tell you biggest always isn't always best. Amen. And you need to let the 25 and 30 year old kids know you can't have what I got because you ain't old enough. They all want to see all you older people. I want what he's got. You can't get what I got because your feet ain't been on the soil long enough. What you need to do is go to work for a while. Amen. You need to go to work. If you want what I got, you got to go to work every day. Watch me, Augie. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yes.
We got to, here's what we're going to do. When the kids get overextended, Bob, we're going to forgive their college note. Well, what happens to all of us that paid the college note? I would love to have them give me back over 20 years of tuition for my daughter. I'd be living in Ladue. Here's the deal. Here's the deal. When they forgive all these loans, all they do is laden you with more taxes. They got to pay for it somewhere. I'm making sense too much now. Hallelujah. Rise up with me. We'll start taking it home. I don't want anybody leaving here mad today. I mean, you guys are getting mad. We're gonna pray that there's going to be a couple more St. Patrick's going to rise up out of this church. They're going to go out and do some prayer walking and some praying and some planting and some things like that. Amen? Amen. So here it is. Let's finish up with this and we'll make it short. For whoever's ashamed of me and my words of him, will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes into glory and the glory of the Father and the holy angels. So I want to tell you what ashamed means. Ashamed means is that you're embarrassed about something that went on. You say, he's not, you know, my mom used to say that when we go to a department store. We could get out of the house and go to a department store probably about twice a year because that's all she could take. My mom was totally embarrassed when we went to a store. I've already told you those stories. But don't ever be embarrassed to confess Jesus as your Lord out there. Sometimes when you do that, people start to get offended, don't they? They get worked up. When you start not only just quoting scripture, and you start quoting the Declaration of Independence or the Constitution of the United States of America. I just did this on the Jamie Allman Show on Friday. And I was telling them that our rights that we have here in America, they're not given by the government. They're given by Almighty God. And if God's the one who gave them, he's the only one who can take them away. And then I went on and on and start talking about all that stuff. And then right there after that, and a couple hours after I got off that radio show, you're never going to believe what happened. My friend Jamie Allman called me on the phone. He told me, he said, they just canceled my show. Can I come down here? Some people are ashamed of the gospel. Some people are ashamed of the truth. And what they do is they hide it by telling you we got budget cuts. You ever hear budget cuts? When they pull you in the department with the HR, they say budget cuts. We're just cutting back a little. And what you're doing is you're cutting back on the truth because it's starting to get out in the airwaves. Right. Things are getting thick. But you're gonna have to deny self and stay true to the gospel. Not true to Pastor Pat or my church, but stay true to the gospel. Because it's here now. They're trying to silence your voice wherever you go. They're trying to quiet things down. So here's the deal. What I want to leave you with is this. First of all, you have to be saved to be a convert. You have to be converted. And not just converted, Carolyn, in speech. You have to be converted in your heart. You have to have spiritual heart surgery. You have to know that you've been in surgery. That when I walked out of that church or I walked out of that Bible study or I walked out of that hospital room, whatever, that the Lord came in and did spiritual surgery on my heart. And I'm not ashamed of the gospel.
And he said, if you are, then I'll be ashamed to me, of shame to you when you try to come into glory. There won't be any faking it. Fake it till you make it when you get into heaven. So first thing is you need to be born again. And then the next thing is if you're a follower of Jesus, I'm just going to pray this prayer with you today. You're a follower of Jesus, raise your hand. I'm going to pray for God's hand, not only of provision, but of protection to be over your life. Because when you leave here and you start to shout Jesus out in the world, there might be somebody that don't want to hear it. They may not like you anymore. It might be your family. It might be your spouse. It might be your mommy, your daddy, your children. Somewhere along the line, Carolyn, they don't like what you got to say. And here's what I tell people. Well, you can get happy in the same pants you're sad in if you get Jesus. Tell the Lord right now you're tired of conniving people. Terry, who wants them? Who wants somebody that's going to be a backstabber? Who wants to be somebody who ain't real? Aren't you just tired of people being fake? I am. I'm so tired of it. I can't stand it anymore. I guess that's why Jesus said you need to either come to me hot or cold. Because if you come to me lukewarm, I spit you out my mouth. And he's not going to know you're Christians just by your love. He's going to know you're Christian by your action. So we're getting good at shouting Jesus inside the church building. Let's pray. Lord, you're honing down the remnant. You're sharpening us. Lord, we look around and it looks like the body of Christ is getting healthier, but it's getting refined more. Lord, we can leave the building and fake it and smile, and the world would never recognize it, but you will. You'll be able to point out a phony. You'll be able to point out men who ain't got a spine. Lord, I know if you was to bring back the preachers of the old, they may grace our doors and maybe not even recognize what church looks like today. We pray that you bring back a heart for Christ in the spirit to dwell here. We want to be men of stature. Not only take back our families and our church, but this country that we live in. And for you and for your glory, we pray this today in the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's patriots said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb.